News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. All right, so I've been watching the speech, doing what I can to glean from it. You know, I missed the first few minutes because I was doing grand counsel with my boys Jeff and Dale. But I'll be honest with you, what I just saw does not inspire confidence. I can't say exactly what all he has committed to do. I will say this, as I'm watching President Biden at the microphone right now, and he's taking questions, and I can't tell whether it's scripted or not, but I see he's taking questions. He had the usual moments where you felt like he was lost and he was trying to find his teleprompter. He had that usual kind of very soft-spoken, there's nothing forceful about his presence whatsoever. There's nothing that says, I'm the guy who's going to send troops to come kill you. He doesn't say that kind of thing. He did not address this from a position of inspiring. Like basically, if he was inspiring the troops right now, he failed. But what he did say was, it's all about ISIS. He did not go into anything that contradicts his previous statements that the Taliban are now our friends. All right, he has been leaning on the Taliban, and now he does not want to rock that boat. Go figure why. I got news, Mr. President. The Taliban were holding the outside perimeter. The Taliban were the ones who were seeing who came through that perimeter. And the Taliban are the one then who had to have let through the guys who had the small arms and who had the suicide vests. And that to me is crazy. He did go on to say he's been talking to his commanders at every step, that he has been granting their every request, he says. And he's also told them to do what is necessary to protect the troops there on the ground. He even went on to say, too, though, that they will be striking back at ISIS targets at a time of their choosing and their place. I don't know what that means. I mean, I hearken back to the days when Bill Clinton launched cruise missiles into an aspirin factory in return for what I think was the attack on the USS Cole. I'm not sure which one it was now that I'm thinking back. But the reality is, it was a non-response. We targeted something that nobody cared about. We blew it up, and then clapped our hands and said, yay, look at us, we're strong. But folks, that is literally what we're looking at right now. And the Biden says, he says, if the military needs more force, I'll give it to them. Well, I hope so. So I'll unpack this thing in more detail later and be able to give you a better read on what I think is being said or not said as we unwrap it. I do see I have a caller on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. Let me just go ahead and say here as we close down the show for the day, 866-494-9866 is the phone number, 866-494-9866. This whole show has been about Afghanistan. It really has. But it's probably the third or fourth time in the last 10 days we've done that, where the entire show is dedicated to one topic. But how do you not do that right now? 866-494-9866. I got John from Huntsville online too. Hey, John, Phil Williams from Right Side Radio. What you got?
Hey, Phil. Yeah, on the 17th, General McConville sent out an email to all the civilians.
Yeah.
And he was explaining Afghanistan. And my response was that if he didn't, the president didn't take his advice, that he should probably retire.
Well, so what was the advice that was given? John, you may be on a Bluetooth because we're getting an echo off of you now. If you can, take it off the Bluetooth. But what was the advice that the general gave to the president that you're referring to?
Well, I would hope that his advice was not to leave Afghanistan.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And and I did get a response back from the chief of staff's office, because I told him if they didn't take his advice, he should retire. And if he didn't if his advice was to do what you want and to pull out like they did, then he's nothing but a Nazi bootlicker, which I was surprised they responded to.
Yeah, I'm not surprised they responded to it. Hey, John, appreciate your call, man. Thanks for being on the air with us, and you sound like a right side ruffian, but we appreciate you being in the audience. I got line four is open. By the way, 866-494-9866. You want to call in, talk about it for the last few minutes of the show, let's do it. We've been talking Afghanistan all day long and the developing things that are happening over there right now. I got line four, Brian from Decatur. Hey, Brian, Phil Williams from Right Side, what you got?
Well, is it any surprise that a Democrat president is putting the country through this? I mean, Iran, hostages, Mogadishu, Black Hawk Down, Benghazi, now Afghanistan. Is it really any surprise? I mean, how many times do we have to see this to start understanding that when you have a liberal Democrat in control making decisions, people are going to die. Our soldiers are going to die. Innocent people are going to die. That's all I got to say. Appreciate it.
That's a great call, Brian, and I appreciate that. You know, I will say there's times, though, when we've seen it, I'll be bipartisan when I say this. Let me look it up real quick and make sure I'm right. But I think the Beirut barracks bombing, where we lost 200 Marines, Beirut barracks, I'm typing it in. I think that occurred during the Reagan administration. And it was one of the hits on his administration was that he did not put a rules of engagement in place that allowed them to truly defend themselves. And that was in October of 1983. Two bombs struck the barracks in Beirut, Lebanon, and killed 241 U.S. and 58 French military personnel. It was a huge, huge deal. But it was one of those situations, too, where we recognize that we can't put people into harm's way and not give them what they need to do their jobs. And we can't hamstring them. And then we also have to watch out for that mission creep. That Battle of Mogadishu that you referred to a moment ago, Brian. Hey, thanks for the call, by the way, Brian. That Battle of Mogadishu, where I believe it was 17 Rangers died in a 24-hour fight. And by the way, 17 Rangers died, but by God, they took down a whole lot of Somalis with them. But a whole lot. Like, do we ever have a body count? I'm not sure. But the reality is... most of the decisions that I do not like, yes, have come from the Democrat side. There have been times when we've seen some things happen that shouldn't have happened and they were on the Republican side. But I do agree with Brian's overall premise, though. The majority of the decision-makings that seem to create loss of life or national, international embarrassment seem to happen on the more liberal side of politics being in charge of our military. Say what you want. Call in and disagree with me if you feel like it. But I think that while there may be examples, I think the bulk of them lean towards the wrong side of the story. Hey, if you want to call in, 866-494-9866. Listen, here's the craziest story. Hey, Copper, if you were going to take let's say you were back in school right now, and you were going to take a international field trip, where would you think your school would want to go?
Probably somewhere in Europe.
Wouldn't you think that would make more sense than the group of dozens of California students who are currently stranded in Afghanistan because their summer trip got cut short while they were in country?
Yeah, I mean, maybe they've already been to Europe. Maybe they wanted to branch out.
Well, I mean, God almighty, who takes a trip to Afghanistan right now? So, story, and by the way, I'm trying to figure out, I think I actually cut off part of this when I printed it, so I can't tell you where the story was from, but I think it was the LA Times. Reporter Cameron Jenkins reported as of yesterday, dozens of California students and parents stranded in Afghanistan on their summer trip abroad. And here's this thing. More than 20 students and 16 parents from the Cajon Valley Union School District in El Cajon, California, visited Afghanistan on a summer vacation. What? Visited Afghanistan on a summer vacation. I say again, what? Now they are among thousands of people who are waiting to leave the country amid the chaotic U.S. withdrawal that caused political unrest across the nation. I do not get this. So, and then Cajon Valley Superintendent David Miyashiro alerted school board members on Tuesday that he was meeting with Congressman Daryl Issa to discuss the situation. Why he waited till Tuesday? I don't know. But the stranded students reportedly attended different schools. It was like a district-wide trip. And they literally took this trip to friggin' Afghanistan. And now they're stuck. And so, where am I right now in the story? Let's see. So The students and their families had plans to fly out of Afghanistan, go figure, and had already purchased their tickets, but unfortunately were not able to get to the airport, one spokesman said. Congressman Issa's staff is working the situation. I'm not seeing this reported anywhere else, but I want to know what's going on with these kids and their parents. And I also want to know who in their right mind approved this trip. I mean, I don't care if this was just, you know, one of those things like on a lark, let's do this because it's safe over there right now. Who in the State Department said, good luck, that's a great trip, we love that, international relations, you know, it's good. No, this was a bad idea from the word go. Hey, we got the phones are open right now. I got a time for one more phone call. I see Paul from Woodville. Paul, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. What you got?
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
I was thinking about the events today over in Afghanistan while I was listening to you guys. And I'm just wondering if this is not a prime opportunity for the left to make a move politically. And by that, I mean use the 25th Amendment to get rid of Biden and to put Kaklin Harris in office. And then everything is rosy because they can blame everything on Biden.
Well, you know, it's something that's crossed my mind, and I'm watching him right now, Paul. I'm watching him give the speech. I got it muted because I'm on the air, but he's giving a speech, right. And he literally is saying, you know, he's taking questions, he's pointing to reporters, he's looking more like somebody who's, you know, got his act together. Maybe they gave him a booster shot before he went out there. I don't know, but I'm curious. I'm curious how this is going to come together, and I'm curious whether or not he is seen now as an anchor for all of those down-ballot races in 2022, and whether they would want to get rid of him. Because if they don't get rid of him themselves, the Republicans may do it for them when they regain control of the House and Senate in 2022. Hey, Paul, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you being in the audience. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. We'll be coming back to wrap up the show. It's been a full day. I'm just sitting here just almost in disbelief over the things that have been unrolling just during the day and even during the show. It is 4:46 p.m. right now here on Right Side Radio. We're watching President Biden take questions in a press conference, unlike any he's done in his presidency, to be honest. And he'd better, because 12 service members died on his watch this morning because of decisions he made. All right, folks. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. WVNN. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams hosting the final moments of Right Side Radio for today. We're going to have plenty more tomorrow. I suspect this is going to be an ongoing saga. Just watched a little bit of the president's final words of his speech. He took questions. He did the usual poking at Fox's Peter Ducey. And the interesting thing is he did say, and Dana Perino is pointing it out right now, is that he did say to those who did this, we will hunt you down and make you pay. And I'm glad to hear that. I don't know that I believe it, but I'm glad to hear it. But one of the things that was most interesting, though, was Peter Ducey asked the question, and President Biden said he wasn't going to leave until he had a chance to go to the most interesting person in the press corps, and that was, and he pointed to Peter Ducey, and Ducey said, oh, me. But he did get up, and he asked the question. He said, there has been no loss of lives of U.S. service members in Afghanistan since February of 2020. Now today, we've lost 12 service members, 12 Marines, he said. Actually, it was 11 Marines and one Navy corpsman. But he said, do you accept responsibility? He said, you said before the buck stops here. Do you accept responsibility for the results of today? Here's what he said back, paraphrasing. He said, I do bear responsibility for all of the things that have happened of late. And then he said, but. Then he said, but. And I'll be honest with you, I had somebody say to me one time, and I thought this is such wisdom. We were talking about something, and a statement was made by somebody else, and this person said, if you have to qualify your position with a but, then it really wasn't your true position to begin with. So if you're going to say the buck stops here, but you're going to say, but, there was a prior administration that made a deal, and I was stuck with it, and I had to do these things, and, you know, it put me in a bad position, and all this stuff, yada, yada, yada. But if you're going to say but, then you really aren't accepting responsibility. It's your watch, Mr. President, nobody else's. You can go ahead and claim that you were dealt a bad hand, which you weren't, because you've undone everything else that the Trump administration did. Mr. President, you've undone everything else that the president before you did. Every one of your 60-some-odd executive orders has been designed to do away with anything that had the Trump name on it. And yet, for some reason, you're claiming that you are bound to this negotiation that took place with a terrorist organization, and you're going to stick with it? Because you're stuck with it? Is there a contract somewhere we're not seeing? Is there a binding agreement between parties? Has consideration been paid, so to speak? Was there a meeting of the minds that was inescapable in its legal sense? No, there wasn't. You just caveated your position of responsibility with a but, and that tells me a whole lot. Hey, I got time. I'm going to wrap up in a minute with a few closing comments about a bird's eye view, so to speak, of the Biden administration, but I do see that Oscar's been holding on. Oscar from Tony calling in. Hey, Oscar, we got about a minute, man. How you doing?
Good, Phil. I'll make it quick. Hey, looking at this Afghanistan situation and all the equipment that was left behind, just to relate to this, you mentioned Mogadishu. I was in Korea during the Panmunjom, the axing incident.
Right.
In August of 76. You're probably familiar with that.
I am.
I don't know who made the decision to leave all this equipment behind. And you know who would love to get their hands on all that technology and equipment. But I said that to make this point. I was over there, and when we had the alert, one thing that they issued us was incendiary grenades. In case we got overrun, we were supposed to destroy the equipment. That was for security reason and national reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, in case we got overrun, we were going to destroy the equipment so the enemy could not get their hands on that technology. So I don't know who in the administration made that decision, but that was a bad decision.
Well, and hey, Oscar, thanks for the call, man. And thanks for your service, too, sir, by the way. We appreciate you very much being on the phone with us and being in the audience. And his point's well taken. I mean, in Afghanistan, I had a thermite grenade sitting right next to the comms gear because it had ComSec, and we were not going to allow those codes, those fills, we called them, to fall into the wrong hands. So it was going to get burned up if we had to. Listen, you've got a bird's eye view here of a administration that is failing on Afghanistan, failing on the southern border, failing in COVID decisions, trying to pass a $3.5 trillion expenditure bill, and as a vice president with the lowest approval rating of any vice president in the history of vice presidents, who spent her time in Singapore yesterday meeting with climate activists. That's where we are right now, folks. This is going to be developing overnight. I'll be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. You are not alone, folks. This is your voice right here. You stay with us. We're going to give you everything you need to go out there and be a Right Side ruffian and have that conversation. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM.